You're listening to the Beautiful Life podcast, where we believe this is no ordinary life, and every day an opportunity to discover more of God's heart, pursue His manifest presence, and make a difference by no ordinary means. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Nigel Desmond. For more information and other resources, visit www.noordinarylife.co.za.
So this week I want to continue along the theme that Jess opened up last week, where we spoke about having faith for encounter. Having a faith that expects to encounter the Lord. See, sadly, I think it's become a truism of much modern Western Christianity that we speak about God, we talk about God, but we actually have a very low expectation of the presence of God arriving in our lives. And it's a little bit like, it's quite interesting. Many of my friends have spoken about taking Western missionaries into Africa. And one of the quickest ways of getting Western people to realize that demons still exist is to take them onto the mission. It's amazing. I heard a friend of mine, he did a mission trip into, I think it was Kenya. I think he went up into Kenya. I can't remember which African country. And he took two people along. He said, no, you know, demons no longer exist. Demons no longer exist. And, you know, it was, and they had a psychological and mythological explanations for the demonic. They were 2 weeks in Africa and they believed. They believed because when the power of God came, the presence of God would drop in a meeting. He started seeing the demonic manifest. And then, but the interesting thing was, we've had the reverse, where with Debbie and I, we've been ministering in Europe. I remember this a couple of years ago, ministering in Europe, ministering in France. And people told us, well, they believe that demons still exist in Africa, but there were no demons in Europe. And I want to tell you that the presence of God came in our meeting in France, and spontaneously people started getting delivered. We started seeing, as the presence of God coming, just demons manifesting. And the same French people who had been telling us that demons didn't exist were pretty shocked. And the thing is that the spiritual realm is equally real everywhere. Amen? In the West, we've learned to hide our demons. We've just learned to hide them. But equally, and which I think is far more tragic, is we stopped expecting the Holy Spirit to manifest in our midst. Yeah. We've stopped expecting to have an encounter with God when we go about our day-to-day life. How many of you, when you read the Gospels and as you watch Jesus going about his day-to-day life, how many of you are struck by the fact that wherever Jesus went, miracles happened?
Yes.
He just walked places, it was like, yeah, stuff happens. Miracles would break out. You know, food would multiply. Actually, sometimes miracles would pursue him. He goes on a boat ride one day, goes out with a local ski boat, crosses the lake, probably did a bit of skiing on the way across, and he lands, and there is a guy. It's in the Book of Additions. He lands at a place called in the Gadareans, and a demoniac comes running to Jesus. Now, I've got to admit, I look at that and I'm like, why? If I was that demon, I would have been up the hill, over the hill, I would have gone. But they couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves when God's presence arrived. He came to set things right. They couldn't, and they come running to Jesus and said, "Why have you come? Have you come to torture us before the appointed time?" And you remember the story. Jesus casts the demons out. The demons actually beg, say, don't just cast us out. Allow us to go into that herd of pigs. Out they go. First instance in the Bible of deviled ham in history. Pigs run down the hill. They drown. And as a result, the people in that region, the most extraordinary thing, the people in that region are so in awe of what Jesus has done, they beg him to leave. Why aren't they? I often wonder about that. I'm not totally sure, but I think what happened was they realized that Jesus was wrecking the agricultural industry in the area. They were more concerned about what would happen if he cast demons into herds of cows and etc. as he went along. And they were worried about their economy, but they didn't really care about the man who was filled with a legion of demons. Isn't that tragic?
Yeah.
That we can value the lives of pigs more than the value of a man who'd been living like a pig for years. But the amazing thing is Jesus would go places and it seems like miracles just found him. Isn't that true? Like people who needed miracles. But do you know what the most extraordinary thing is? Do you know what one of the great promises of Scripture is? Jesus has said that if you are a believer in him, he will never leave you. So Jesus is still walking. He is still walking the earth in your person.
Yes.
If that is true, then we should have an expectation that miracle is going to break up over there. You going somewhere means that whoever you are around, they are not safe. They may just get a miracle because you walk by, because Jesus is in you walking with you.
I remember a couple of years ago, and we've got so many testimonies of this. A couple of years ago, I was in Hemingway's Mall in East London, and we were having coffee. Debbie and I and a friend, we were sitting having coffee, and I noticed a very pregnant lady walk by. And it was at that stage when I was learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and learning to step over the chicken line. And I saw this lady walk by and I heard the Lord say, "I've got a word for her." And I went, and I watched her walk by. And I was like too scared to get up and say, "Excuse me, I've got a word for you." Does anyone identify with that? And she walked by, and so I see her walking by, and I went, "Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I tell you what, Lord, if she comes back, I'll give her the word." You know, as I prayed that, it was like you say, "Ah, I forgot something." She turns around, she walks past my table again. And I see her coming, and I'm like, and I chickened out a second time. And then, you know, now we're having this important meeting. We're having a conversation. I have tuned out now because I am feeling under. And a third time I went, "Jesus, I'm so sorry. Lord, if I see her again," thinking like, "Okay, I'm safe now." And she literally came back. And so I realized I had no option. The Lord was determined that I speak to this lady. Yeah. And she's like, "I'm sure. What?" So I remember getting up and I went to her and I said, "Excuse me, I explained, I'm a Christian. And sometimes when I'm in a place, I feel like God gives me just a word of encouragement or a message for someone. And as you went by, as soon as you went by, I felt like the heart of God for you. Could I share some things with you?" And she looks at me,
She's a little anxious. And I said, maybe he's moving his chair to hear better. She was a little bit anxious. I said, okay. And I began to share this word over her baby. And I specifically, I said, this baby, this pregnancy has been a time of great anxiety for you. But I hear God saying, you are not to be afraid. This baby is going to be fine. And I began to speak some words over this baby. This woman bursts into tears. She says, you cannot believe how much I needed to hear that word. I was like, why? What happened? She said, 3 years ago, I was pregnant. And I lost that baby. When I lost that baby, the doctor said to me that not only would I never fall pregnant again, if I did fall pregnant again, that I would die and the baby would die. And she said, when I fell pregnant with this baby, she said, I've always wanted to be a mum. And I fell pregnant. She said, my parents are so angry at me, they no longer speak to me because I fell pregnant. She was a month away from the pregnancy, from the birth. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know how the story ended, but I believe that she was fine. But she needed to hear that word in that moment, at that time, because she was a month away from birthing, and she was so filled with fear. What do you think happened for that woman that day? In that mall, she didn't meet Nigel. She met Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And she met Jesus not just because a Christian was there. See, what that is, that's an encounter with God. Do you know that you are an encounter with God? You're the best encounter with God that many people will ever have. You are your walking encounter where you go. But the difficulty is when we have a very low expectation of God arriving. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Very, very well-known scripture. Those of you who ever did the His People Bible School will probably be able to quote this scripture in your sleep at night backwards. I don't know why. When we did His People Bible School, this scripture just got drummed into our heads. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That word hoped is actually the word, it's not the word hope that we use in the English language. The English language, when you say hope, it'll be like, hey Josh, I hope to see you at the party tomorrow. What I'm communicating there, it's like, you know what, if I see you, I don't see you, that's okay, but I'm hoping it's going to be nice if you're there. That's a very different thing for if I'm Josh's boss, and I say to Josh, Josh, I hope you will be at work on time tomorrow. What am I saying?
Yeah.
I'm expecting you to be at work on time tomorrow. That's how this is word. It is the word to anticipate, to expect. It's a joyful, confident expectancy of something. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. And so how we position our faith for God to move in our lives is of absolute vital importance. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for God to do in this next week? Are you hoping to see miracles? Are you hoping to go places and meet someone who needs to hear about Jesus and you have the word of life and have an ability to speak to them? You see, many of us have more hope for rejection than hope for preaching the word of God. The word of God. Isn't that true? It's like, man, you know, if I go and tell that person about Jesus, they're just going to say, get away from me, you religious fanatic. I mean, let's be honest, that the enemy has convinced us that the whole world doesn't want to hear the gospel. But the word of God says that the harvest is ripe, the fields are ripe unto harvest. If Jesus says that, we should have an expectancy that everywhere we go, there are people who are actually really longing to hear the word of God. Like this young woman that Jess just spoke about. She had an encounter with Jesus years ago that she still remembers today. And when Jess speaks to her, her heart comes up. I had an encounter years ago at a wedding just like that. I was debating with this young woman about communism and the gospel, and I wasn't getting anywhere very quickly. And I thought, Lord, I need your presence to break in with this young woman. And so I'm sitting there and I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. What do I say to this young woman? And the Holy Spirit says, I've touched her life 3 times. So I asked her, I said, why don't you believe in God? She says, well, I've never seen him do anything. And the Holy Spirit gives me this word. He said, that's not true. I've touched her life 3 times. So I told him, that's not true. God's touched your life 3 times. Her eyes go wide like this. She looks at me, she says, you know, that's true. I don't expect so. She said, and she begins to tell me of these 3 supernatural moments in her life when something miraculous happened, or a peace dropped on her, where she had a sense of the unseen realm. She began to tell me about these encounters. And I'm like, yeah, you see, he did something. But pretty soon she got back into her mindset of like, oh, you know, I've got all my communist doctrine, because she'd grown up in East Germany and she'd got a communist kind of brain on and everything. And we weren't getting anywhere again. And so I said, would you like to feel God? I'm giving you the short version. End up that Debbie prayed for. Debs laid hands on her and she said, come, Holy Spirit. Presence of God in this wedding reception drops on this young girl at our table. Presence drops on her. She starts weeping at the table. Turns around to Debbie and she goes, wow! What was that? That was better than sex! It was so awesome. It was so awesome, I tell you what. But literally, at this wedding, the presence of God was so real in this young woman. She is weeping. What happened to her at that table? She encountered Jesus. She encountered the Holy Spirit. Our God is a God of encounter. Always has been and always will be. But is our faith at the same level that it should be? We ought to expect miracles everywhere we go. We ought to expect the supernatural everywhere we go. Why? Because our God is a supernatural God. He has not stopped doing the things that he did in the scripture. The scripture is not meant to just be a record of what once happened, but is a testimony of what happens normally in the Christian life. Signs, wonders, miracles, presence breakout, those things are the normal Christian life. Verse 6 of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In eternity, faith is a really big thing. Really big thing. God, he takes it personally when you trust him. And you believe him. And you know, I know for me and our family, we always wanted to see miracles. I mean, don't we all want to see? Is there anyone here who don't really want to see miracles? I don't think I've ever met anyone who's like, nah, I don't really want to see miracles. I want to see miracles. I want to see massive miracles. But you know what? That never started happening until we started expecting them to and started praying for them to happen. I mean, I remember one testimony in East London, in our church in East London. We had a group of students. There were four of them in a particular digs. And there were four young African students. And the race is important in this thing because of a cultural thing. And the one, the person in our church, a young woman who was in our church, was cooking that night in their digs. And there were four pieces of chicken left. And so she cooked the chicken for four students. And just as she was about ready to serve, four more people arrived. Now, in African culture, am I right? You don't just eat when you now have to share. Am I right? So that's why I told you that. And she prayed. She looked at the pot and she prayed. She said, Jesus, please let them leave. And you know what? Jesus answered her prayer. They left. And then she started serving. She was starting, even eating the chicken. And they're just having a great conversation. They're chatting. And they pass the thing around. And she realizes everyone had seconds, then thirds. Everyone had a fourth helping. By the time she realized, hang on, something weird is happening. She grabs the pot and she looks in the pot and she knew she cooked. I cooked four pieces of chicken. How have we all had four helpings here? She looks and she thinks, I must have been wrong. And she looks at the bones on people's plates and she realizes, no, everyone has had four pieces of chicken. God multiplied the food. Despite the fact that the people just to show up. We started having miracles like that that happened in our church. We had another time we got multiplied muffins and a cool drink. Cupcakes and a cool drink. We did an outreach at a school in East London, and with the Student Christian Association, and they were expecting about 75 kids to come, but somehow the word had got out on the grapevine that they were doing it and that there would be cupcakes. And more than double the kids arrived. And they were like, what are we going to do? You know, because you, at an event like that, you can't not give some kids cupcakes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Anyone it's like, kids knows
you know, it's going to be a riot, you know, if there's not enough cakes. So the people organizing it just felt like the Lord said, just trust me, go for it. And they just started handing out cupcakes and cool drinks. They just started handing them out as the kids lined up and they went past and the kids all got a cupcake and there were still cupcakes and cool drinks left on the table. I can remember the season of miracles breaking out in our ministry. People would come in on a week by week basis and we begin to share these testimonies of what God was doing. And you need to understand that we were a church beforehand that believed in miracles but didn't see any miracles. Okay? Like many modern charismatics, we teach great messages on miracles and signs and wonders, the power of the Holy Spirit, what God can do. But actually, we're living at such a low level of actual expectation that we never see anything. We never pray for it. We never ask for it. And as a result, nothing happens. And so we've been like this. But then testimonies started being shared. And people would come and say, you won't believe what happened to me this week. We literally, it snowballed. And people would come in. And then the craziest stuff started happening. I'll never forget our associate pastor's wife sharing a testimony. She comes into our staff meeting one day. She's just about weeping. Their neighbor, a neighbor, she was a woman, she was deaf. She'd lost her hearing many years before. She had a child who... Hang on. I need to get this right. Who was deaf? Was it the child or the mother?
the mother was deaf.
Yes, the mother was deaf. That's right. Thank you. The mother was deaf. She'd lost her hearing. And Cornet and Jenny had been sharing about the Lord with this lady. She didn't know the Lord. They were sharing about the Lord. And they just decided, I'm going to be brave. Because it takes courage. Can I just pray for your hearing? Because Jesus still heals. And she was like, okay. And they prayed for her. And they laid hands on her ears, prayed for her. And in that moment, it seemed like nothing happened. But they were in faith and they were believing. They were trusting the Lord. Anyway, the next day, this woman's banging on the door early in the morning. And they're like, what? What's going on? And she says, I've got to tell you what happened. I prayed and I really believed. And I went to bed and I just said, oh, God, if you're there. She went to sleep. In the middle of the night, she woke up. She lay in her bed and suddenly she became aware of a sound. She was lying in her bed and she could hear the wind blowing in the trees as she lay in her bed. She said she jumped out of her bed, went down to her children's room, woke up her child to hear her child say, what, mommy? For the first time in her life, she'd never heard her child say, mommy. This is the God that we serve. Miracles like that began to break out. The goodness of God began to be displayed. But one of the things that had to happen was an expectation had to be created in us for God to do something. Now, I'll be honest with you, it didn't happen every time. There were lots of people we prayed for healing who didn't get healed. And I'm not interested in making up a theology why that didn't happen. But I do want to press in for more of the stuff that's displaying the goodness of God in the earth. Amen? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That speaks about two aspects of the nature of God. You know, faith is more than just believing in that God is. Because you see, that's believing in his existence. But there is another side to faith that is equally important. We need to believe in his essence. What is the nature of God? What's he like? Because you know what? If God existed, but he is a mean, angry, distant God, if you believe in a God like that, that is not biblical faith. Because he's a rewarder of those who seek him. I love the testimony. I heard Steve Backlund say, as he was growing in his knowledge of the Lord, he heard the Lord say to him, Steve, I give you liberty to try to exaggerate my goodness. I don't think we're ever going to get to heaven and God rebuke us and say, hey, listen, Sue, you just went too wild with these stories of my goodness. Man, you know, you went overboard. I'm not that good. You just calm it down. It's not going to happen. And honestly, that song that we sung about the goodness of God, he's better than we expect. He's better. I want to say he's gooder. It just seems better. God's goodness is so great. And he's so present with us. That's the kind of faith we call to carry. And when we have that kind of expectation, you know what will happen in your life? Miracles will break out. You will wake up in the morning and say to yourself, Jesus, I can't wait to see what you're going to do today. I can't wait to see who we're going to meet today. How you're going to display your goodness. So what's the idea of God that you have? See, many of us behave like God is an absent father. that he texts once in a while, sends an email, and he visits on the weekend. Specifically on Sunday between 9:30 and 12. Just for that little catch up, and we will chat again next week. That's not who he wants to be in your life. That's not who he wants to be in your family. That's not who he wants to be in and through you. Amen. I still love testimonies of, as we began to learn how God loves to be with us. I remember this one time. We have angels that stand at the door of our house. And in our house in East London, how that manifested one time, we had someone come to the door and they knocked on the door, and when I opened the door, they fell out in the presence. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, that's our welcoming angel. He's very enthusiastic. I remember the same thing happened to me. I went to a friend of mine in the United States of America. And I walked up to his door, and as I'm walking up to his door, I'm like, man, the presence is so thick here. My legs are stopping working. I'm a dad who loves to hug his children. I love to hug my children. Mystery loves being hugged. So now, during most worship sessions, when Mystery feels the presence of God, she gets cuddly. And then she'll come over and cuddle me. Am I right, Mists? Yeah. So she comes over and she cuddles. And I love cuddling. But I want to say that our Heavenly Father is no less tactile than I am. The fatherhood in me is a dim whisper of the love of the Father. Which is why he loves to hug you. He loves you to feel his presence. He loves you to know that he's with you. He loves to encounter you. He's a God of encounter. God's not a deadbeat dad. He's not an absentee landlord. He is the God of encounter. If you read through the Bible, you'll see the histories of the people of the Moses encountered God in so many varied ways. Walking through the desert one day, he sees a bush that is burning, but not burning. And he turns aside, see, and he encounters God in the desert. How many of you have found God in the unusual? You know, you've just had a moment where, man, something happens and your spidey senses go, ding, 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 ding. That was weird. That God is setting me up. Heidi Baker tells the story of when she was pressing in for a breakthrough in the healing of blindness. And I'm coming to an end, more or less. She got a prophetic word when she was in Toronto. She got healed of something. And the prophetic word from Randy Clark was that God was going to open blind eyes and deaf ears through her ministry. She hadn't seen much of that at that time. And she said, oh, it was so good, because I went back to Mozambique and there's so much blindness in Mozambique. And she started praying for people for blindness. She prayed for over 100 blind people in 1 year. And in that, out of that 100, of the 100, you know how many people got healed?
No.
After about a year of praying for 100 blind people and seeing no one get healed, she's in a particular village and she lays hands on a lady and she's got cataracts in her eyes. Her eyes are white with blindness. And Heidi prays for her. And as she prays, she watches the white turn to gray. And then from gray turn to brown. And the next thing she says, I can see.
How do people think of birth? And Hallie looks at her and says, that's an amazing language. He says, what's your name? She says, Ida. Now, Ida, what she means is Hallie. And she realizes, what are the chances? This is amazing. The first person I pray for with blindness, she's the same name. And she's, oh, sister God. Anyway, next day she's in another village, in another part of the province, and they bring people up for prayer. And there's a lady there, and she's blind. Same thing. I praise her. After a year of nothing, she's had a breakthrough the day before. Praise her. And this lady, her eyes are the same. White, gray, brown eyes. I looked at her. What's your name? She says, my name is Ida. Ida was like, whoa, what are the chances? First two people healed. First of all, Ida. She's like, okay. Now she's getting a little freaked out because she's like, okay, now, Lord, what are you saying? You start praying. What are you saying? Third day, exactly the same things happen. Praise for a third woman, different village, different place, same name. Now Heidi drops on her knees. She's crying out. She's saying, okay, Lord, I can hear you. You're saying something to me. What are you saying? And the Lord says, Heidi, you're blind. You need him. And she's like, how am I blind? What do you mean, Jesus, I'm blind? Because you see, this is what he's saying. In the unusual, you can sometimes hear the voice of the Lord. In something like that, in the unusual, something, if you are alert to listen for the voice of God, you may just hear him speak. She said, how am I blind? And the Lord says, you're not seeing the poor. And he's like, jeez, what are you talking about? I live with the poor. She said, not those poor, Heidi. The poor in the West. The Western church. They think they're rich and they don't need anything and they're sophisticated, etc. But in actual fact, they are poor and destitute and faithless and broken. And my heart, and Heidi begins to weep as she says, Lord, it's true. I don't even like being in the Western church. And God begins to convict her. And from that day on, she committed to preach some of the times amongst the Western church. In that moment of something unusual, like Moses, she had an encounter with the Lord that changed the way she operated in the ministry. But you know what? Each of these people, Moses, Israel in the desert, encountered God on a daily basis. Samuel in the temple, lying down as a young boy, he hears the voice of the Lord saying, crying out to him. Finally, he turns around and he says to the Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is. He had an encounter with the Lord. David encounters the Lord several times. Gideon. Jesus is the ultimate encounter, isn't he? He's the ultimate. But not only that, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus actually said that to encounter Holy Spirit would be an upgrade from encountering him perfectly. He said, it is good for you that I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It was going to be an upgrade. You know what? We want to have an expectation for the miraculous power of God to encounter us and others through us everywhere we go. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I really believe that this year is going to be a year of encounter for us. I believe God is moving and wanting to move in Cape Town in a supernatural way beyond anything we have even imagined. We've seen already so many miracles. But I believe we're going to start seeing another level of miracles in this church and in God's church across the city. I want to just say to you, start listening for testimonies in churches that you do not expect. Like the traditional church down the road that you've written off. And you know, they're so traditional. I tell you what, be expectant to hear of miracles breaking out. One of the greatest encounters I ever had with the Lord was in a little Catholic church in Paris, France. We went there. We had a mission team there. We had a prayer meeting. By the end of the prayer meeting, the priest was leading worship on his back, just overcome with the presence of God, still playing his guitar on his back. It was amazing. We saw so many miracles that night as God touched and encountered these French Catholic believers. I want to tell you, this is the day for revival. This is the day for encounter. Amen? Let's pray. Lift your hands up. Just pray with us. Say, Jesus, right now, deliver me of small thinking. Deliver me of low expectation. Fill me, Lord, afresh with your Holy Spirit. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would rebaptize me with your presence. That I would be filled with your holiness, with your presence, with your power, and your joy everywhere I go. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Beautiful Life podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our channel below. If you would like to keep in contact with us, you can sign up for our newsletter by emailing us at info@noordinarylife.co.za or visit our website. If you have any testimonies, please email us. We'd love to hear them. Until next time.